So for those of you I have not had the opportunity to meet, my name is Clenty and I'm part of the team. Thanks, Pastor. And I'm part of the team here at Freedom Church. And this morning we are in our series called All Things New, because we believe that God is constantly moving and God is constantly speaking to us. And even though God is unchanging, He's constantly moving and He's renewing things in our lives. Some people may have come here this morning and you're like, God, is it that you're not speaking to me? No, He's speaking to you. And particularly, I believe that He's speaking to you because He wants to renew something. The Bible says that He's the Alpha and the Omega, and He makes all things new. He makes all things new. But particularly this morning, one of the things I believe God wants to renew within us is vision. I believe every single person who's come in the room this morning has a vision over somewhere in your life. Whether it's vision over your finances, vision over your relationships, vision over your work, vision over your health, or whatever it may be, God, you have a vision. Some people, you might not have a defined vision, but your vision might just be to have more vision. And I believe that God really wants to renew that vision that He's planted within you. If you've ever used a smartphone, I'm not as good as props as Pastor is, but I'm going to copy him. My grandmother always says you can be a copycat as long as you copy the right cat. But so if you've got a smartphone, you will know that sometimes, you know, when your smartphone sometimes gets laggy and it doesn't achieve what it's built to achieve, it's not necessarily that your smartphone's broken, but sometimes it just needs an update. Sometimes what God is wanting to do is He wants to do a system update within us. And where you've got vision, God is wanting to update that for the season that you're in, for the particular purpose that you're in. So can you guys throw up Proverbs 29? And it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, happy is he. Often when we see this verse, we think of it in the context of vision, of like visionary leadership. But the actual context, that's not what this verse is speaking about. It's actually speaking about revelation, that when God plants a godly vision in you, you know, that if you don't grab a hold of that vision, you all of a sudden start to see things perish. Wow. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I do this exercise every couple of months. It's a really scary exercise where I print out my bank statements. I print out my bank statements and I sit with a highlighter. I'm like, okay, we're going to deal with the bank statements today. So I start flipping. And this was particularly, I guess, when I was more of a student. And I'd be like, yo, I'm hard pressed on every side. But I'd flip through the bank statements. But one thing I learned, if you go through your bank statements and it's super chaotic, you don't know what came in, what went out, it's often one of the very first signs that you don't have a vision over your finances. Because what do people with a vision over their finances do? They budget. So if one of the very telltale signs that you don't have a vision of an area of your life is often you see chaos. In fact, when the verse we just read in the Message translation, it says, where there is no vision, people stumble over their own feet. And sometimes, you know, when we have a vision, like I like to think, yo, when I've got a vision, maybe I'll be like, I'm not pursuing the vision because maybe the enemy came and stole my vision or whatever. Sometimes that is the case, because when God has given you a godly vision, you do get opposition. But sometimes the vision is hindered by, as Michael Jackson would say, the man in the... Because sometimes we hold ourselves back from stepping into what God has for us. So a couple of months ago, around my birthday, I was like, I've got a vision to get a little bit more fit. And so I got, and you know when you know how it starts, you'll be like, okay, I need to assess the damage. So God, dusted out the scale. Hey. And I got there and I was like, babe, to my wife, I was like, okay, I'm going to go start, you know, I'm going to go assess where I am first. So hey, I put the first foot on the scale and the scale lights up. I put the second foot on the scale and this huge error sign. I said, no, it could never be. So I turned the scale around and I'm like, it can take up to 400 kgs. And I was like, surely. So I realized that there was something wrong with the batteries to the scale. So I changed the batteries, I put new batteries in, and I put the first foot on. And the scale lights up, and I put the second foot on. And the number starts counting, The second that number started counting past the number I'm used to, I got off. I said, surely, that cannot be me. But the idea, what I'm trying to get across, is that sometimes we are not taking a hold of the vision because we don't want to confront the vision. Sometimes the areas in our lives, if you want a vision for your finances, and you're like, yo, I don't want to even start because I'm too scared to confront the vision. And so sometimes the vision is really confronting, but once you can push through that and you actually get to what the vision God has for you, then you really see the powerful move of God. So this morning, I want to look at a particular character in the Bible, and his name is Joseph. And Joseph, if I can wrap up a give us a short wrap of Joseph's story. So Joseph is Jacob's son. And when Joseph is born, he's born and his dad's already quite old. And so when Joseph is born, his dad makes him a really cool coat. In Sunday school, we used to call it a technicolored coat, but in the Bible, they say a multicolored coat. And so through a series of events, you know, Joseph's brothers really don't like Joseph. They decide, we need to kill that one. Because sometimes when you've got a vision on your life, not everyone's too happy about the vision. So there's some people who decide, even when they see you coming, they haven't even seen what you're going to be. They decide, we need to kill that one. But I'm so thankful for God. Because what the enemy intended for evil, God can use for the good and the salvation of the world. And so they say, we need to kill that one. And so they throw him into a pit. And when they throw him in a pit, these Midianite traders come past. Now, Joseph is Hebrew. Midianites are the enemies of the Hebrews. But sometimes when God wants to get you out of a pit, he will even use people you didn't think he would use to get you out of the situation that you're in. So don't go around discounting people, because God can use the very same person that you discounted. And so, long story, and Joseph goes, and he, at some point he ends up in prison, but ultimately where Joseph ends up is that he's the number two in charge in Egypt. But when we speak about vision, you know, there will be times where we go through pits, where we go through people who hate on us, where we go through prisons, but ultimately God is getting us closer and closer to the promise. And so if you're taking notes this morning, I want to give this a sermon, a title to say, the coat, the pit, and the promise. Because I think those are the three arcs that in Joseph's life that we're going to learn a little bit about more vision on. So let's read from Genesis chapter 37. Now Israel, so Israel's name before it was changed to Israel, it was Jacob. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. He made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Listen, not everyone needs to know your business. There are some people, find yourself some confidants, people who can pray with you, people who you can be vulnerable with. Your boss does not need to know about your auntie's financial crisis. We can go to the next slide. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves, which are basically bales of wheat, in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. Ultimately, what we see here is God giving Joseph a dream. But really, the dream is reflective of the vision that Joseph is going to be a leader. And so when we see throughout Joseph's life, whether he's thrown in the pit, he's a leader. Whether he's thrown in prison, he becomes the chief amongst all the other prisoners. Whenever he's thrown into slavery, he becomes the chief slave amongst other slaves. Whether he's a servant, he becomes a chief servant amongst all the other servants. Because God's vision withstands opposition. And so the first thing I want us to look at today is the coat. Now, the coat is really a representation of the favor that Joseph's father had given to Joseph. And so when his brothers see the coat, they get really mad. And so they take the coat and they tear it up and they put blood on it and they lie on Joseph and say that, you know, he's been killed. But what they thought when they were taking the coat, they thought they were taking the favor. But they weren't taking the favor, because the coat was just a representation of the favor that was over Joseph's life. So even if you take the coat, you can have it. But when God gives you something, that thing's yours. So even when the things around it, you start to lose the things around it, you've still got the favor. And so I started asking myself, you know, why is it that Joseph got the coat? Joseph's not the oldest of his brothers. He's one of 12 brothers. Reuben is the oldest. And culturally, the coat should have gone to Reuben. Joseph's not the youngest. Benjamin's the baby of the family. But the coat still goes to Joseph. And I realized something that I think is true for many of the people in this room, that Joseph didn't earn the coat. Joseph didn't work for the coat, but Joseph was chosen. And when you are chosen, God will even break the cycle. When you are chosen, you know, there's people in this room who I believe are chosen, that everyone you know might be stuck in the cycle of poverty, but God has chosen you. That everyone you might know might be stuck in the cycle of depression, but God has chosen you. Because that's how God's favor works. That even in a room, God will use his favor and you'll be chosen. And so the second thing that I want us to look at is the pit. So they throw Joseph in the pit. But before we get to the pit, actually, there's one thing that I realized about favor. And I don't know if you guys have ever had this, you know, when God has given you favor, and some people aren't really happy about it. And like if you get favor in the workplace, and then when you go greet them the next day, and you're like, good morning, guys. You're like, what did I do to you? All I received was the favor. But some people, particularly Joseph's brothers, what I realized about them, I'm not sure if they were really hating on Joseph or if they were hating on Joseph's father. Because it's the father who gave the coat. So they've got what psychologists might call displaced aggression. So instead of, because, you know, they can't go tell their business to the boss, they take it out on you. But sometimes people try to hold back our vision, not necessarily because we've done anything wrong, but they try to hold back the vision because when they see you to grab a hold of the vision, you remind them of what they could have been had they taken seriously the opportunity God had given them. And so sometimes, you know, we try to water down the vision to suit someone else's fears. But I feel that God wants to break that cycle this morning. That there are people who are watering down their vision, who don't want to think outside of the box because of what people will say. You know, in Xhosa, they'll be like, oh, bazothina bantu, which means that what will people say? But once you get over the what will people say, you will really see the move of God over your life. That sometimes God will work in such a way that is maybe, it's not the way everyone's used to. Maybe everyone in your family, let me use a teacher as an example. Maybe everyone in your family is a teacher, but God has given you a different vision. Maybe everyone in your family is a particular profession or whatever it is, but God sometimes breaks that cycle and he chooses you to be able to live outside the box. Now let's get to the pit. So when you have vision, there will be times in your life that you feel like you're in a pit. So Joseph's brothers, they decide, okay, let's take him. We're going to throw him in the pit. And they take him and they put him in. And when he's in the pit, Joseph's eldest brother, Reuben, when they threw him in the pit, Reuben was there. Then the Bible says he leaves for a little bit, and when he comes back, Joseph is out. Sometimes people are looking for you in the wrong place because they're looking for you at where you used to be. But they don't forget that God, we serve a God who's got a particular speciality at removing people out of the pit. And so you might be in a pit this morning. And you feel like, God, what are you doing? And in fact, you might feel like you are at rock bottom. But here's one thing I discovered about Jesus, is that when you're at rock bottom, it's often when you discover that Jesus is the rock. And so when we are as low as we can go, in fact, the Bible says that when they hang Jesus on the cross and he died and they took him down, it said Jesus descended to Hades, so that which is the place of the dead. So Jesus will get even as low as you are to get you out of where he wants to get you. So you are not too low for Jesus. You haven't done too much that Jesus can't get to you. But when Joseph's brothers put him in the pit, I imagine they look over. And when they see Joseph, they see him as a liability. But when the Midianite traders come, they look at Joseph and they see him as an asset. So don't base your value off the negativity of other people. Because God will always send people into your life who will see you for who you've been created to be. And who you were created to be, the Bible tells us that you're the apple of God's eye. You're above and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. You're the lender, not the borrower. And so when you tap into that, God will often send you people who will show you who you are and why God has called you. In fact, why God has made you the person that he's made you. Joseph was the answer ultimately to a problem in Egypt. Because when he gets to Egypt, he realizes there's a famine. And God gives the revelation to Joseph of how they should manage everything they have under the famine. And what I've realized is that when God has designed you to be an answer, you attract problems. And so just because you have some problems around you, it's because they're coming to you as an answer. So I even want you to completely reshape the way that you think about this. Because some of us this morning, we think that, oh God, why is this a problem? Why does this person always come to me for help? And because God has created you to be an answer. The last thing is the promise. Now, the vision ultimately was to get Joseph into a position where he could fulfill the promise. I want to say this loud and clear. That if you are the sole beneficiary of the vision that's in your heart, that's not a vision from God. Because God always works with the people. In fact, that's why even David says, my cup overflows. It's not cup overflowing to be a waste. It's overflowing onto the people around him. And so if your vision doesn't include other people or no one else will be a beneficiary, you need to seriously relook that vision. And so ultimately, we see Joseph get to the promise. And I want us to throw up Romans 8. And it says, and we know that some things. No. We know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God can use the good, the bad, and the ugly to push you closer to the promise. God used the pit. He used his brothers. He used the coat. He used the prison to get Joseph closer to the promise that what Joseph was called to. God can use a retrenchment to get you closer to the promise. God can use divorce to get you closer to the promise. And so you might have come here this morning and you think that God is wasteful. Our God is not wasteful. God will use everything. In fact, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And sometimes God will order your steps past the pit. But being in the pit is just the process that God is using to get you to the promise. So in my day job, I am a lawyer in my day job. And one of the most frustrating things about being a lawyer is that you get someone come into your office and they sit down and they tell you their story. And you realize that this person's in a crisis. I can help someone in a crisis. But what is particularly difficult is helping someone who's in a crisis, but they don't realize they're in a crisis. Because all of a sudden they're sitting there, they're kicking their feet up. But what is more important than that is that sometimes you get people who come into your office who think they're in a crisis, but in actual fact, they're in the process. So sometimes God uses the process to prune us into the person he wants us to be. The pit and the coat and Joseph's brothers were all part of the process in pruning and preparing Joseph's character so that when he possesses the vision, he would have the character to sustain the vision. Some of us in this room have the vision and we're running full speed, 120 kilometers an hour, and we're trying to get the vision, but we're not working on our character. God is wanting to deal with some people's character today. He wants to, you know, have you ever seen a person who gets money and then they don't have character? What happens to the money? Poof. Because they didn't have the character to sustain the vision that God had given them. And so I want to speak to some people today who you've maybe come in And you say, Clanty, I'm going through a lot. This, that, and the other. And there's heartbreak on this side. And there's hurt on this side. And maybe I'm not finding employment on this side. God can have this particular way of stitching those things together to get you closer and closer to the promise. Amen. So, I used most of my time to set up the frame. Let's get to the picture. So this morning, I've only got 2 points for you. And the very first point is, if you need your vision renewed, the first thing you need to start with is the renewing of your mind. Allow God to renew your mind. So the Bible says that, and we throw up that Romans 12 scripture, do not be conformed to this world. Some translations say the patterns of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Some of us, we have the vision, but we are processing the vision through an old mind. You know, there's this singer that says, don't be fooled by the rocks that I've got, because I'm still... Jenny from the block. But the thing is, I'm no longer Jenny from the block because I found Jesus. And Jesus renewed my mind. And when I used to process things maybe from a place of pain, Jesus renewed my mind. Where I used to process things from a place of my own opinions, Jesus renewed my mind. And some people here, I believe that God wants to speak to you that don't process the vision through what you know. Process it through his word. The youths now say, I'm turning 30 this year, guys, so I'm not a youth anymore. The youth, I'll see on TikTok, the youth will be like, I'm standing on business. I never really got what they're saying, but maybe I'll get one of the young people to explain it. But what I've come to realize, there's no place to be standing than to be standing on Bible. Because when you make the word the foundation of your life, all of a sudden the way you process things completely shifts. So the last point I have for us this morning is that you need to allow your vision to be fueled by faith. Some of us have the vision, but we don't allow God the space to work the vision. In fact, you know, the Bible even says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And sometimes, because we don't have the faith, we set our expectations so low that even when Jesus meets the expectations, we are so underwhelmed because we've set the expectation so low. But God wants you to look at your vision from the perspective of faith. That you lift your expectation. My grandmother always used to say, the Jesus you are expecting is often the Jesus you get. So when you expect miracles, and you expect healing, and you hold on to the faith, all of a sudden, you start to see the miraculous work of God. We begin to see the miraculous work of God. You know, one of the things, it's rarely, I guess I say I've got a logical brain. And one of the things that I find really difficult to reckon with is that something can be a fact, but not necessarily true for me. Now, as a lawyer, that's wild, because facts are truth, but not in the kingdom. Because we live in a time where the world is in a global financial crisis. But we praise a God who he can sustain all of his needs according to his riches and his glory through Christ Jesus. The fact is that Gen Z and millennials are the most depressed and most burnt out they've ever been. But the truth is that those that trust in the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall soar on wings like eagles, and they shall run and not get weary. We live in a time where we are told that doing good does not pay off. But Paul tells us, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not faint. And sometimes when we don't add faith to our vision, what we do is we get trapped by reality. We get trapped by our circumstance. We get trapped by the fact that, oh, everyone around me is broke, so surely I must be broke. But no, God is wanting maybe to make you the person who escapes the cycle. In fact, I believe that even as I'm speaking this morning, there are people who your vision is coming alive, who your vision, God is bringing back the vision. Some people, you've let the vision die. But God showed us something last weekend, that He's a master at resurrection. And there are people here who need their vision renewed. There are people here who are coming in this morning who are saying, Kanti, I've been walking aimlessly. I've been seeing some chaos in my life. I need my vision renewed.